The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Psychovertical Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Kirkpatrick. This week, I'm going to answer, I'll try and answer a question that I was given quite a long time ago. I have lots of, I seem to have like an inbox that's, I call it like inbox archaeology, where I kind of, every now and again, I kind of go in there and start like digging down into it and find all sorts of interesting emails I never replied to. So anyway, this one's from Johnny, which was, I don't know when it was, a long time ago, so he may be dead by now, so and apologise if you are. So, hi Andy, I was wondering what your opinion is on the best way to strength train for alpinism climbing. I recall on a previous podcast you mentioned being a fan of Mark Ripetoe starting strength. My interpretation is that his recommended approach would vary from the advice given in more climbing focused training guides, e.g. Uphill Athlete Steve House books. My understanding, starting strength, get stronger using basic barbell bodyweight exercises, using lowish reps, squats, deadlifts, press, bench, chin-ups. Do this regardless of your sport. Spend plenty of time practicing your sport, climb, hike, run, etc., which will allow for skill development alongside the refinement of auxiliary training elements, muscular endurance, etc. Uphill athlete, less focus on strength, more on sport-specific exercises, incorporates higher rep muscular endurance work outside of that gained just through climbing. So now he says, I lean towards the starting strength model, emphasizing that strength should be the focus of training as it benefits all other aspects of fitness. Other elements are then gained through practice of the sport. It would be great if you could touch on this subject in the podcast. Many thanks, Johnny. So I shall touch on that subject for you. So, first of all, I have no qualifications in strength training or physiotherapy or anything like that. I have no qualifications in absolutely anything at all. So anything I'm about to tell you is based on my own experiences, and the area of strength training is it's very, very complicated, and it's also like layers and layers of stuff that overlaps each other. So the classic thing you'll go on YouTube, the classic thing is like someone say, read this article, this is the best article ever written on strength training, and you'll go there, you'll click on the link, and you'll be like, oh, I can't be asked reading that, it's too long, I'll just look on YouTube for, like, type in best strength training ever, and you'll find this article from 10 years ago where someone's basically got loads of chickens and he's like chasing after them in his garden or something. You're like, oh god, I got to get some chickens. So there's again, like with the email archaeology, there's like an archaeology of how things develop and as things advance and progress, and you have like some revolutionary ideas or whatever. But so a really good example of this is like the god emperor of kettlebells is Pavel Tatooine, or his name is Tatooine, Russian guy. And you know, if you look on YouTube of like kettlebell swing Pavel, you'll find this video of him from probably 20 years ago, 25 years ago, and he just basically looks shit. You know, he's basically doing it all wrong. You know, this is the guy who basically is like the god of kettlebells, and it just looks crap what he's doing. It's like, oh my god, that's like terrible style. You know, they get like some 15-year-old going, yeah, so you're so shit, lol, you know, in the comment section. Or if you look at him now, like 25 years later, he, you know, he's amazing. It's probably the same if you look at, you know, if you look at sort of in climbing, you know, you'd look at someone. If you look, so you know, Neil Gresham just did like an E11. If you go back and you look at Neil Gresham like 25 years ago or 30 years ago, you know, he probably, his idea of training was very, very different. You know, he'd be doing lots of like dead hanging, and he'd be, you know, he'd basically be injured nearly all the time, and you know, like throwing in all sorts of weird bits of training, but basically probably climbing too much and doing everything, you know, everything wrong, because climbing, you know, like really applying sort of sports, you know, sports, what would you call it? Like you're basically performance is about sort of three things. It's about like your biology, anyway, the physical aspect of it, the psychological aspect of it, and the culture of those are the three things. So if you look at someone like Adam Ondra, who is like the very pinnacle of climbing, he's basically got those three things, like physically, mentally, and the culture, because the culture also includes the fact that he can make a living just going climbing every single day, which maybe 25 years ago that probably wasn't possible for most climbers. And it's so that's a cultural thing. You know, psychologically, you know, someone who can like travel around the world climbing everywhere, if you look at Jerry Moffat, one reason probably why Jerry Moffat ended up being, you know, one of the best climbers in the world for his time, was he did what like Ron Fawcett did and Wolfgang Gerlich and all these people did. He like traveled around the world and he climbed in all sorts of different places and learned all sorts of different styles of climbing, you know, could identify why this person is the best climber in, you know, Arapiles or, you know, like Joshua Tree or whatever. And he, you know, so he was like learning all the time, and then he came back and he could do, you know, climb harder and stuff. So, and then the psychology is just being part of a sport that's like very well developed. You're able to bolster your psychology of performance, because you just believe that you're at a time where, you know, like your nutrition and all these things are just so well thought out, and stretching and all these kind of things. Like if tomorrow like someone just came along and like absolutely blew Adam Ondra out of the water, and it turned out all he did was just watch Netflix like 5 days a week and ate like junk food and didn't do any training, but then, you know, one day a week he like chased chickens in his garden and he had ended up being the best climber in the world, then Adam Ondra's like psychology would like break apart, and he'd be like, oh my god, I've been doing it all wrong. And so anyway, those are like three really important things. Not only am I not qualified, I'm not really qualified to say anything about anything negative or undermine or even question anything that Steve House is going to say. Like Steve House is, you know, like a gold medal Olympic athlete kind of person. So he, you know, he is like, again, he's like another god of, you know, he's like, if Pavel's the god of kettlebells, and he's like the god of kind of high altitude kind of climbing. I'm probably more like, so Mark Rippetoe is a sort of really well-known, like rough kind of Texan kind of guy, who lives in the you know, like the arsehole of nowhere in Texas and has like a gym, and but he has like a huge following, probably because he's like lives in the arsehole of Texas, and he's not like a lot of strength. It's like all these things, a lot of these people you will come across, they could be doing like life coaching or selling you, you know, like sort of supplements or something. Like there's a lot of sort of oil snakesmen or pyramid marketing people in all these kind of fields, who'll be, you know, they could be like evangelists or the kind of, you know, people where they give you the creeps, basically. They're trying to sell you something. So Mark Ripperto isn't really like that. He's trying to sell you something. Like he writes books and things about training, but he is like an anti-seller, basically. So because first of all, he's like an old fat guy, you know, with a mustache, and you know, he's kind of right wing, you know, conspiracy theory kind of guy. But he's a fantastic voice for some people, like just trust someone like that who's willing to, you know, not be saying namaste. What's it, namaste? You know, he doesn't like to start with like a yoga position and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, so Mark Ripperto is you know, he's more like how would you say it? Like Mark Ripperto is kind of someone who's been playing, he's like a session musician who is, you know, been like playing the drums for, you know, like 50 years, you know, and he's like really good at playing the drums. Where I'd say like Steve House is more like someone who's like Mick Jagger kind of person, you know. He knows what he's doing. He's got his, you know, but they're kind of doing different things, really. But I guess like both of them are, you know, both of them are right and both of them are wrong at the same time. Like people can be equally 100% right and 100% wrong at the same time. So it's like everyone's different. So what is going to work for Steve House, or probably the people Steve House is hanging around, or the people that Mark Ripperto are hanging around, are probably a certain kind of person. They're, you know, psychologically they're the kind of people they are. They're probably like high achieving people tend to hang around with high achieving people. They don't hang around with like goths who, you know, who just like sit there listening to sad music and stuff and watching vampire films. You know, they tend to be hanging out with people who are like, you know, in a way, you're like high performance people. High performance is like normalized. So the idea of someone saying, I'm just going to go out and do like a, you know, like a 50 mile run, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to do some weights, and then I'm going to, and you know, and then it'd be like, then it'd be 7 o'clock and I'll go to work. You know, like those kind of people, hanging around people like that. So it doesn't seem like a big deal. So, and the same with if you're shooting up heroin, you know, you're just like, I just got to go and rob an old lady and get some, you know, if everyone's doing that, it's like, oh yeah, you know, get me some. So that's probably the most important thing to do is whatever I'm going to say now, or whatever you listen to other people say, or whatever you read, or whatever you watch, don't treat it a little bit like some kind of religious kind of thing. You know, like you don't have to believe like Noah literally built an ark and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You can sort of take it, you know, take some bits on board. There was a flood a long time ago. It's like in lots of biblical texts and all that kind of stuff. There was a flood and blah, blah, blah. So basically just don't take everything literally what people are saying. You need to, you know, consider it. Try and work out what you want in the first place. Like when it comes to, so what I'm talking about here is basically training outside of climbing. Like if you can just go, like the best I've ever been at rock climbing, or the best I've ever been at ice climbing, or the best I've ever been at mountaineering, is when that was all I was doing. It's like when I've been like in America for 3 months, I just climbed like almost every single day. Like towards of that, like at the beginning, I probably wouldn't have been climbing at all. So I'd turn up in, you know, Tuolumne Meadows and I'd be shit. And then after 3 months, you know, I was really starting to think like, I can actually climb now. I can actually, you know, do, like often physically you can be, your mind sometimes has to catch up, and it works vice versa. You believe you can do something, but your body can no longer do it. So you're like, oh, look at that, I can do that. And you start climbing up it, and you're like, oh my God, I feel like so shit, I can't hold on to anything. And then your mind kind of catches, your body like catches up with your mind, or your mind catches up with your body, and like, oh, I'm coming down. Or you do something, you're like, oh my God, that felt so easy. I thought it was going to be really hard. It actually felt really easy. So there's like a mismatch between the two. But if you're climbing a lot, you can suddenly, you know, eventually everything will be in a line, and you're like, yeah, I can do that. It's going to be difficult, but I can do it. And you'll do it, and it'll be difficult, but you'll get to the top. So I guess the way you're always like trying to stress the two things. You're trying to stress your body, and you're trying to stress your mind at the same time. So it's like, if you were come to training, if you're like, I guess the certain things that you would have as like benchmark, you know, like benchmark sort of standards of training, where you know you're trying to aim to get to that point. When you get to that point, you will know that you are like a certain fitness. So a good one is like, if can you do 100 press ups, 100 sit ups, 100 pull ups, in a day. So if you can, if you know, like that's very easy to get your head around. You don't need any weights, anything like that. And then if you can do all those in a day, so you might have to work up to doing that many a day. You might have to do like most people might be able to do, like, you know, you might be able to easily do like 100 sit ups. You might be able to do that in like, you know, in an hour. 100 press ups, that might take you might have to do like 10, 20 press ups like every 30 minutes or something. And eventually, you know, you could probably top that up in a day. Like an average person could probably do 100 press ups in a day. When it comes to pull ups, maybe you could do like one pull up every 10 minutes or something. You know, like if you have like a pull up bar, every time you walk past it, you can probably do one pull up, and you would like spread it over the whole day. And even then, that might be quite difficult to do like 100 pull ups. Like after you've done like 50 pull ups in a day, you might start feeling quite tired. But if you build up to it, eventually you can do like 100 press ups, 100 sit ups, 100 pull ups in one day. But then can you do all those in like 1 hour? Can you do like 100 press ups in 1 hour, or 100 pull ups in 1 hour? Or so you would like, you know, slowly you know, build up this to aim to some sort of standard. So in your mind, you're like, I want to in. Another one is like, you want to do like your age. You know, this it gets harder the older you get. You know, I want to be able to do like, so I'm 50. I want to do 50 pull ups, 50 pull ups, 50 sit ups, 50 press ups in an hour. You know, so every the older I get, the more I'm going to have to do. But you would set yourself a target, and then you would sort of aim, you know, build towards that target. And the older you get, the longer it's going to take you to get to that sort of that target. But you're trying to set yourself a standard. Like, so if you're joining the military, you know, you have to run like if you're a Gurkha or something, I think in one of my books it talks about the standard to be a Gurkha, you have to run like a mile in a certain amount of time or something. But you know, you set yourself these standards, and you aim to hit those kind of standards. So in like weightlifting, your standard would be to deadlift like twice your body weight, bench press your body weight. So I'm probably like 100 kilos, so that's like 200 kilos, 100 kilo bench press, squat. Would you squat like your body weight more than well, definitely squat your body weight, but anyway. So, but there's like standards you can like work towards, and the lighter you are, you know, the easier it is in some aspects. So, I don't know what my point was now, but you need to set like a standard, because you also need to work out why you're training in the first place. So if you're like following Steve House, then you want to basically solo K2 in winter, Now, Steve House is probably the best person to advise you on how to set about doing that, you know. But whether you know, Wojtek Kurtyka and these like old school guys who probably did things equally as impressive or more impressive than Steve House, whether they were following any of his training in the past, I very much doubt it. I expect they probably just did a lot of walking, you know, like hill walking, and that'll probably be it. You know, their kind of training was kind of non-training. So if you don't want to climb K2, solo K2 in winter, and you just want to basically feel sort of fitter and stronger, then maybe you don't really just want to be following like a, you know, uphill athlete kind of thing, or you just want to sort of make some adjustments to it. But it's like a lot of these things is it's not as complicated as you think it is. Like a friend of mine who was like, he got really overweight, and I said to him, like, you know, it's actually easier to lose weight than it is to put weight on. And, you know, like a few months later, he emailed me, told me he'd lost loads of weight and how this, you know, I was so right. And I was like, I didn't mean it. I was only joking. But it is kind of true, is that the, you know, you can get really bogged down in like losing weight or nutrition or all these kind of things. But it's actually very, very simple. And we all kind of, like, I'm one of these people, I make a living out of making things sound more complicated. Like that, my book Down, you know, you could probably condense that into, you know, like one sheet of paper, really. Condense down from 300,000 words to maybe 1,000 words. But, you know, that's kind of the business you're in, really. We like to, you know, if you just said, like, you want to get strong, just lift up loads of heavy shit, and that's it. Just keep lifting up heavy shit. Like, basically, your body will tell you when you can't lift any more heavy shit because it'll be too heavy. You won't be able to do it. And maybe then just find some shit that's not as heavy as the other shit you were lifting up, and just lift that up until you can't lift that up. And if you get really tired, then just stop lifting shit. And then when you don't feel tired anymore, just start lifting shit again. And probably within, you know, within a week, you'll start feeling, in the first week, you'll feel shit and you'll just be like achy and stuff. If you don't injure yourself, in the second week, you'll start feeling stronger. And in the fourth week, you'll start feeling much stronger and you actually start feeling much better. And then in the, you know, like 4 months down the line, you'll actually look like you've been lifting heavy shit, and you'll look quite good about it, and blah, blah, blah. So it's actually very, very simple. And people will often get bogged down into like, oh, do I need to do kettlebells or dumbbells or chickens or whatever? So, but really those things are less important than you think about it. So the first thing, if you had a piece of paper, you want to write down what do you want out of this? You know, if you want to have really amazing cardio, you know, cardio fitness from your strength training, then probably don't bother doing it. Like, just go and do something else, do something, you know, go running or something, or, you know, go swimming or running, you know, whatever. But if you want to lose weight, you know, like strength training is probably not ideal, because you're probably just going to get heavier from doing more strength training. But often what people misidentify feeling shit as wanting to lose weight. Like, I feel shit, I need to lose some weight. No, just make yourself fitter. Like, doesn't matter if you're a big fat fucker, if you can still, you know, deadlift like 200 kilos or something, who fucking cares? You know, so like a really fat person who's really strong and fit is much better than someone who is like, you know, like a 50 kilo, you know, someone, you know, on YouTube at the moment, there's like a Squarespace advert, and it just says this guy, I think he might be trans or something, he's something like that, but it's like some sort of fashion thing. He's like, Squarespace, it's all good. Is that, no offense to him, but it just sums up like this guy, like, imagine like if the zombies appear tomorrow, I'd be like, So I think so basically trying to make yourself stronger is going to sort out a lot of shit in your life. Like, don't be thinking about losing weight, you know, do the opposite. Basically is, you know, just try and imagine that you've got this fat suit on and you just want to make what's underneath that fat suit really, really strong. And the stronger you feel, the less shit food you'll want to eat anyway. And you'll just, if you like going on some sort of diet and trying to lose weight is the worst thing you're going to do because you feel shit. You might do it for a few days, but then you're just going to like pig out on loads of shit. So basically, you know, if you want to just feel better about yourself, then kind of some kind of strength training is good. Now, the problem with strength training where, you know, it's going to be very like, you know, sort of difficult, you know, like if you're going to start, you know, like Steve House would be like having you like run up a volcano or something with a gas mask on or something like that. You know, like you're just not going to be able to do that because you're just a big fat fucker and you're weak as fuck, basically. So you need to, so like a more traditional strength training is, you know, it's starting at a very low standard. Now, I want you to imagine a pyramid. What's a pyramid where all the sides are the same? Is that an isosceles triangle? I don't know. But, you know, the pyramid where all the sides are the same size. Now, this is quite a good way to visualize it. Is basically your peak, the peak of what you could be, is basically to do with how wide the base is. So if you've got like a narrow base, your peak is not going to be very, very high. And if it is high, then your pyramid's, you know, it's not, your triangle's not, it's not balanced and it'll fall over. So basically, a lot of it's to do with the base. So the base is the thing that's kind of like, oh God, why do you have to do that? Like, why do I have to do all these boring, like easy exercises? But basically, you need to sort of build up your base of training. So this is more like, I'm sure Steve House is the same, but this is more like a traditional strength training thing. Now, your base is important because, so in the past, so my strength training thing was, you know, so I got into climbing, rock climbing from a very early age. I was basically always crap at it, basically. I was never like a very good rock climber. And looking back on it, I think I never really put enough effort in and I never really put in the time. Like rock climbing is all about the time you put into it. They say like if you want to be a world-class climber, world-class tiddlywinks player, whatever that is, world-class whatever, you basically have to do 20 hours a week for 8 years. So, and that's 20 really good hours of training. So really good tiddlywink, you know, if it's subbuteo, you got to be none of that painting your stuff, that's separate. You just got to be really just training really, really well, really good training. And the longer you train, the better your training should become. Like if you're just doing like V diffs for 20 hours of V diffs a week, you're probably, that's, you know, within a few weeks, you're not going to get anywhere really. You just got to, you know, it's got to be very intensive. So that's probably works for most rock climbers. If you could put in 20 hours a week, really good, down the climbing wall, climbing at the weekends, pushing your limit, within a few months you'd be like the best, you know, be like one of the best climbers in your group. Within a year you could be one of the best climbers, you know, in your town, within, you know, blah blah blah. I there's a few people I know like in Yosemite where, you know, you saw them when they just basically arrived in Yosemite and they were doing like the easiest routes, and now you see them 5 or 6 years later and they're doing like some of the hardest routes, like, you know, like free climbing El Cap and stuff. So, but they've just basically lived in Yosemite like and been climbing nonstop all that time. So, but unfortunately most of us don't have the luxury of climbing or doing anything like 20 hours a week for 8 years, like nonstop. Like Adam Ondra does, all those people do, but most people don't. So you're gonna have to work out what you're, if you're 16 and you're listening to this and you want to be the best climber in the world, then basically that is good advice. It's give yourself 8 years, train really well, as in don't fuck yourself up, don't get injured, don't get married, don't have kids, all that kind of stuff. Just basically be like a hermit for 8 years, and you've got a good chance. You might not be the best, because you're competing against other people who want to be the best climber in the world, but you'll be in the 1% of that sport. And that's a difficult thing with like Olympic sport, because you are in the 1%, but only like the 0.001% get to go to the Olympics. So that's always the, you know, if you enjoy training and climbing or windsurfing or whatever, then it doesn't matter. So I never really dedicated enough time to the physical side of climbing. The mental side of climbing, for some reason, I had like very good, mental kind of, my mental side of climbing was pretty good. So I could like solo at the same grade as I was like leading, probably, which probably wasn't that hard anyway. And the culture, I was in a good culture of climbing because I lived in Sheffield, but I was also married, and that like undermined, like I basically never went climbing at weekend. I'd probably go climbing after work. And as I got more into climbing, like professional climbing, I was basically could go like months and months and months without doing any climbing whatsoever. So I would literally come back from a trip, take all my climbing gear off, you know, I'd empty my bag with all the gear on. I was climbing on a route, and then next time I went climbing, I'd get the gear out, and the gear would still be on my harness from like 3 or 4 months ago. So I got into climbing, sort of big wall climbing, like originally alpine climbing and then big wall climbing. And now the alpine climbing and big wall climbing generally, so if you're doing like an ED1 or some kind of very difficult classic hard like route in the Alps, if it was like a mixed route, generally the rock climbing standard was going to be like VS, hard VS. You might have to do it wearing your boots and stuff, but it was never going to be super hard. Don't be a bit of aid climbing or whatever to get past harder bits. But it meant that you, as long as you could maintain that standard of climbing, you could sort of do it basically, you know, do it through like physically, anyone can climb hard VS. Same with probably E1, probably, like you can just climb it just because it's just in your mind, your head, really. It's not physically that difficult, but you know, it gets physically more important to be able to like, you know, hang on as the climbing gets harder. So and then I got into like big wall climbing, which is like, even it's all like psychological. It's like there is like physical aspects to it, but it's mainly more like heavy, like working on a building site. It's not about fine tuning your motor skills and stuff. It's like whamming in pegs and hauling haul bags and just not being intimidated by the fact that you think you might die or something. That, so it's all like psychological. And also if you have like you have a good culture because you're like in Yosemite or you're somewhere where everyone's doing like big walls and it's like normalized what you're doing. So I think I naturally got strong just from doing that kind of big wall kind of stuff, like carrying haul bags around. And I had because I used to cycle a lot when I was younger, so you had this job where I had to cycle like 24 miles a day over a big hill. So I had very good, like, if you to build up like long, like it's very easy to get strong very, very quickly, but the quicker you get stronger, the quicker you lose it. So like that's the problem with rock climbing. You can get quite strong at rock climbing. You can go away to Spain and do loads of rock routes and you'll get quite strong quite quickly, but come home again and within like a few weeks it'll all just disappear, and then all you'll have is like the residual skill. Like, you know, you always have the skill, you should always remember like how to do this, how to drop your knee and all that kind of stuff, but the actual physical strength will like leave you. So to have a kind of strength that like stays with you for longer is you need to do like, you know, do it over a long time. So like by cycling, you know, for cycling every day for a year, like 24 miles, 5 days a week for a year, that probably established some kind of strength in my legs that was retained, because I always had strong legs after that. I probably had strong legs before that, but I had strong legs before, you know, after that. So So like the big wall stuff, carrying heavy haul bags, that kind of strength has always, you know, always stayed with me. I'd read Mark Twight's book, like Super Alpinism, and he talks about some kind of strength training, but I never really understood it. I can never really work out what he's talking about, like reps and all that kind of stuff. So I think I probably did join a gym like at one point, like in the 2000s, like people started joining gyms and stuff, like in Sheffield, I joined a gym, it was a bit of a meathead gym. I don't know why I joined it really, but I joined it, but I didn't really understand what I was doing. And you just go there and you'd like fuck around on some machine and do a leg press or whatever. But I didn't really understand what I was doing. And it was always quite intimidating. Like the people in the gym, they're all basically like Asian taxi drivers. So you always felt like you couldn't really go up there and be like, excuse me. You just felt made you feel like a bit of a twit really. So, and then I joined like another gym, like a more fancy gym, like a, you know, like health place kind of gym. But again, I didn't really understand what I was doing. And then I think because I was going to Patagonia with Ian Parnell, this was like 2002 or something. I think I actually decided I was going to do some proper training. So I did a lot of cardio. So I do like 20 minutes on a rowing machine, 20 minutes on like a cross trainer, and then maybe 20 minutes on something else. I basically try and do like 1,000 calories of exercise, because that's the only way I could think out how to do it. And I'll just do that every day, and I'd be absolutely, absolutely wasted. Just go and do every day doing the same thing. But never really, I never really picked up any weights. I didn't really understand what they were doing. I'd probably do something. It was probably just pointless what I was doing. Anyway, I got like really good cardio. Like a rowing machine is really good. I find is like one of the best things for your cardio. You just find that you don't get tired. That's my definition of cardio, is that, you know, you can watch the telly, hold your breath, you can hold it longer than you think you can. And you just don't get tired. When I used to cycle a lot, I remember where, like, if someone opens the door and you nearly crash into it on your bike and you get really angry, I was always aware that my heart rate would go back down like really, really quickly. And that always told me that I was, you know, like I would be really angry and then I would just not be angry really quickly. My heart rate would go back down. Like, and I have a very, like, my heart rate is about 40 something. Like I have probably something wrong with me, but I have a very low heart rate anyway. But that might be to do with all that cycling I did. Who knows? So I think I only really, basically had this girlfriend who was paraplegic, Karen Dark, who fell off a cliff and ended up like paraplegic. And so I went out with her for like 3 or 4 years. And because she was paraplegic, I ended up having to like lift her up and carry her around sometimes. Like we climbed El Cap and I had to like piggyback her down El Cap. And she weighed like, I think she weighed, she's quite tall. She's like 75 kilos. So I had to like piggyback someone, 75 kilo person for like 9 hours all the way down from El Cap. And just various things like that. And then I think we did a trip to Chile, like kayaking in Chile in the archipelago and Patagonian archipelago. And I ended up like, I think I was like pulling her up a step in a wheelchair. And I was like bent right over. And as I did it, I sort of did something to my back. And I ended up in the most like just agonizing pain for this whole trip. And I did the trip, even though I literally couldn't stand up. I was like crawling around. It's like basically the whole trip was basically two people with bad backs. They made like a film about it. It's like, you know, it's basically two people with bad backs going holiday together, kayaking. But I think after that, I was like, shit, I really have, if I'm going to live with someone who's paraplegic, I'm gonna have to fucking sort myself out and be like, get a lot stronger, because this is gonna wreck me. And I had a bad back before from carrying really heavy rucksack in Patagonia, and I compressed my spine. I had some damage to my spine because I used to wake up in the morning and have like a real pain in my spine, and then it would just wear off. And then I met a spinal expert in London who told me, actually, you in the night your spine hydrates and it creates more pressure in your spine, that's why it's painful in the morning. So eventually that kind of went away. So, you know, so I decided to start doing more training, more physical training. And I guess, where did I, probably YouTube, maybe I just looked on YouTube. I bought Pavel's, this guy Pavel Tatooine, his book. And it was kind of like Power to the People or something. And I just loved the style of his writing. So I read that book, and he talked a lot about doing deadlifts. So I started doing deadlifts, and basically because I have very strong legs, and I'd like carried stuff around, like, you know, on, you know, haul bags and all that kind of stuff, I was actually very strong, but that is probably not what wasn't very good. So I started doing deadlifts. So very quickly I was doing like 100 kilo deadlifts, and I probably got up to like 120 kilo deadlift, like very, very quickly. And but then instead of like moving up to do like 200 kilo deadlift, I would just do like 100. I do like 100 deadlifts, like every single day. So I was basically doing like, you know, in 10 days I do like 1,000. Tons or something. I was just doing like loads and loads of deadlifts, and I wasn't really doing anything else. I wasn't doing like squats. I didn't understand how to do squats. It just seemed like I was going to injure myself, and I wasn't doing anything else. Basically, I was just basically doing deadlifts, and then I was doing a little bit of like kettlebells, but I found the kettlebells quite tiring, so I didn't do those. I was just doing deadlifts, and I got like, I did get very, very strong. Like my overall physical strength like increased like dramatically, my grip strength, because when you're doing a deadlift, it's like one of the best exercises you're ever going to do. You just get like phenomenally strong. But the problem was I just overtrained, and I didn't really understand what I was doing, and I ended up getting the most horrendous tendonitis in my arms, in my forearms, to the point where I couldn't do any more training at all. And even just driving the car was like painful, or doing anything, or opening a car door was like painful. So basically, that is a good lesson, is you'll get this feedback, like, oh, you're getting stronger, you know, you can just get a bar, and you can like lift it above your head, and you can do like a squat, and but basically your muscles can get big quite quickly if you're doing, you know, if you, you know, it depends how you're doing your exercise, but you can get strong quite quickly. But the muscle is getting strong, but all the connecting parts, like the tendons and the ligaments and all that kind of shit in your body, that's not necessarily getting strong at the same time. Or it's like having, you know, like getting one of these massive big like therabands and attaching it with like two bits of string, you know, and then like pulling it massively. Like the theraband's not going to snap, the string's going to snap. And basically that's what happened to me. Like, it wasn't my muscle, it was like all the connecting tissues to my muscles just got like fucked over by doing like 100 deadlifts and stuff, and not resting, not you know, because you do have this like, you just feel, you will start feeling very invincible. And then you'll start doing some sort of strength training, and then you'll get knackered. And it's exactly the same with running. Like whenever I start running, I always do the same thing. So I start running, I'm crap, and then I start running, and then eventually I'll be running like 10K, and I can run 10K, and it's okay. And then I'll just like start running like 10K every single day, and then I usually get, you know, after a few weeks of that, I'll get like some really bad sort of flu-y kind of thing, and it'll like wipe me out for like 3 weeks, and then I won't do any more running for another year, and then I'll start again and do exactly the same thing. So I think the older you get, it's very difficult to sort of hold yourself back. And I think I said on my last podcast, you know, I knew somebody and they were trained to be like an Olympic athlete, and they started doing some strength training, and I remember like, oh my god, like, why are they getting you to do such light weights? That's ridiculous. You know, you're so much stronger than that. But now looking back, yes, they might have been really good at cycling or something, but they weren't, you know, weren't like really good at weight training. So you have to build your broad base, which doesn't only just mean about getting strong, building up this kind of this base strength. It's also about the base kind of your you know, the architecture of it is like all the connectors in your body. You need to establish this sort of firm foundation of whatever's going to come after that. If you're going to, you know, just get stronger in one aspect, everything's connected. Like there's so many things, you know, like a good exercise to do is just, you know, put your feet together and squat down. Like, see if you can do like, you know, like a pistol squat where you basically end up like go down on one leg with your other leg sticking out. But just put both feet together and just squat down onto like basically stick your ass out as if you're sitting on a seat and then sort of tuck your ass back in again at the end. You know, like see how tight your calves are and stuff. Like, can you have your feet flat on the ground when you're squatting down like that, or you know, things tight? And so a lot of it is about first of all, like, just developing this base strength, developing the muscles, the tendons, everything else. But also it's about ironing out all the tightness in your body and all the things that are going to fuck you up, basically. Like, you're going to end up like hurting your back if you bend down to pick up a pair of socks, if you have to put your hand on your knee to beach down, or you're really stiff in the morning getting out of bed, then basically that is a problem. That's going to cause you an injury because you've got some tightness in your body. Now, I'm not a big fan of stretching. I'd rather the idea is, if you're starting off with this foundational phase of your training, is what you're going to do is you're going to be doing training that's actually stretching your body, which is probably, you know, you never see a lot of builders turn up and start doing loads of stretching before they start building. You know, they're basically, their bodies have adapted to move in the way they're going to be moving without getting injured, hopefully. So that's one reason why it's good having this foundation phase, because you will find that as you're doing an exercise, say if you're doing a squat and your knees feel a bit weird or your hips feel a bit weird, it might be that you're doing it wrong, or it might be that your body is just very, very stiff. So if you were trying to do like a squat with like a 200 kilos and you've got a really stiff back already, you're probably just going to damage yourself really, really badly. But if you're doing a squat with 40 kilos, and as you're going down, you can really feel like, oh God, that's like really, that's tight. You know, you're probably just going to work that through. Just think of all these weights like a giant, one of those rubbing things, what are they called? Rubby things, those, what are they called? Foam rollers, you know, like you can either do like the, you know, the kind of like sitting in front of the telly, kind of like bending your leg around. But I don't find that very effective, you know, and everybody else finds it effective. I just think you're better doing it like builder style and just, you know, like do, you know, just get your body to start moving. If that's what you want to do, then, you know, so you want to develop this foundational kind of strength. Now, if you go, like, I think, like Steve House isn't writing books for like people climbing V diffs, you know, who are like, you know, overweight. He's basically writing books for people who are already, you know, very like elite athletes. But I think now starting strength, that he's writing books more for anybody. But even then, he has a strength program. You'll probably find it online somewhere. But you basically, you know, you've got a small group of exercises. You've got bench press, deadlift, squat, clean is where you stand to push the bar above your head, and then it kind of expands later on into sort of some other exercises. But you basically got basic exercises, which are like fundamental exercises. So if you can master those, then you don't really need to master anything else. Like if you can do all those well, then you'll be strong, my son or my daughter. So you and you begin you can download this from off the internet. You get like a spreadsheet, and you type in the weights you're aiming for, and then that will like populate all the training. So you basically train 3 days a week, and on like Monday you would do like a clean and a squat, and then on Wednesday you do like a deadlift, and on You know, it basically goes like that. So you just you get plenty of rest, and you slowly develop. And each time you do an exercise, you increase the weight by, like in metric, it'd probably be like about 2 kilos, 2.25 kilos or something. And so you have this like very slow progression. So you're not only getting stronger, you're also getting you're also developing your technique. And as the weight gets heavier, it'll punish bad technique, and it'll get to the point where you won't be able to get any better unless you get like perfect technique, or like as perfect as you can do it. So I would, that kind of starting strength program is good in that you could actually start very, very easy. So you could start doing probably the least important one is bench press, but it's in there. So you'd have your maximum bench press, if you went all out, if you'd never done a bench press before, might be like 60-70% of your body weight or something, but it probably might be less than that. But you would start at like 40%. So you would start. So I would start on, 40 kilos or something, and or even less than that. I would just, and then you would be doing, five sets of five. So you would, you would warm up, and then you would do like five, then have 5 minute break, five minute break, five, or sometimes it's like 3x3 or whatever. And, you would be building up your strength, and then you'd also be building up your technique. And you would say like, why is my wrist hurting when I do this? Or you'd be like, oh, because you have not got the bar's not in the right position on your hand. And then it's like, why, you know, like what are my legs doing? You know, there's even in a bench press, there's a lot of weird things going on, like that you probably instinctively do it. If you suddenly give you a lot of heavy weight, you probably would go into that position, like tensing your ass and all that kind of stuff. Like, why is my ass got to be tense if I'm like lifting something with my arms, and all these kind of things. So, you know, you develop all these techniques. So when you're doing like 100 kilo bench press, but by that point, you know, several months down the line, your body will be adapted to do that technique, and all your connectors and everything else will be working for you. So that kind of training would take like an hour, 2 hours, 3 times a week, which if you think about the benefits it would bring you in terms of like health, happiness, you know, motivation, everything else, it's probably not a lot to ask. And I tend to train like in the morning. So I will get up. If I've got something to do, I'll get up at 5:30 and I'll try and get all my training done by like 9 o'clock, and then I can start the day and start doing other things. If I'm going away, I'll try and fit that in some other way. So that's one sort of training. And it's worth like understanding that, say if you want to look like a big muscly person, like someone from the Middle East, like people from the Middle East are really into like bodybuilding for some reason. It's a real kind of macho kind of thing. You want to look at Arnold Schwarzenegger. You'd probably be doing like, 5 sets of 5, you know, like 5 minute break, 5 minute break, 5 minute break after warming up. And that's going to develop, you're going to get strong, but it's also going to develop muscle. If you just want to get like really, really strong, like just pure strength, then you'd probably do like 3 sets of 3. Each time you lift it those 3 times, it's going to be like really, really, really hard. And you couldn't do that 5 times, it'd just be impossible. So you'd be doing that three sets of 3. You probably wouldn't develop very big muscles, but you would develop like incredible sort of strength. But for climbers, mountaineers, those kind of people, any kind of strength training is going to be like beneficial, as long as you're not going down the route of ending up weighing like humongous kind of big muscly person. But any kind of strength training is good. But I think for climbing, you need that kind of a strength training which would be more like a wrestler or somebody or an MMA fighter or something. And if you Google it, you'll find loads of training for those kind of people, or like military kind of training where you need to be able to have like a good level of strength, but also strength you can apply over a very long period, maybe like, you know, the length of a pitch, length of a crux, length of a whole climb, length of a multi-week trip, where you're going to be lifting stuff, carrying stuff and all that kind of stuff. So for me, I find a training where you're training like 10 by 10. So you're generally doing like 100 total lifts in something is, I find that is very good. Like, you're not going to end up being like huge, unless you're like lifting really heavy where it's like 100 times, you're not going to end up being like really muscle bound. But what's going to happen is it's a very good way of not getting injured, because you're not going to be able to lift anything that heavy 100 times. So that's limiting what you can do. But you are working your heart, your cardiovascular, you're also developing very good connections between all your connectors in your body and stuff, and you just get a general elevate your level of just base fitness, really. You're not going to become like a weightlifter, but you're just going to elevate your base fitness. Now, you don't want to be doing like 100, you know, like 150 kilo deadlifts or something. You probably want to be using some other sort of form of training. Generally, you're best using some sort of like compound training, like, and doing circuits, some kind of circuit, like circuit kind of training or time training. So that's where the kettlebells, kettlebell training comes in it's very, very handy. So you try and do an exercise where, so a classic one is called, armor maker, is that a drink? Where you basically, you've got your two kettlebells in front of you and you do two kettlebell swings, and then you go into a press, and then you do like three squats, and then you like rest, and then you do it again. And you could set your an alarm. You could set like a timer. So you've got like 60 seconds. So you do one of those every 60 seconds and maybe do like that for like 20 times or something. And you'll find like on the first four or five, feels very easy, like you're not that kind of tired. But then on the 8th, 9th, you'll start feeling really, really tired, and then towards the end you'll feel like really, really wasted. But you don't want to be doing it to the point where you're losing your form. Like, it's very important to like keep good form. And with that kind of training, so I would do that exercise, do those like that compound exercise, and then I would do a press up, then I would do like a pull up, just one pull up, and then rest, and then start again, one pull up. So you end up doing, if you tot all them all, you know, you do like three squats times by 30, you know, you do all kind of adds up, really. And you will feel sort of knackered at the end of it. And you can't, because you're doing it under the clock, it's good. You'll be very sweaty and everything else. But there's loads of like the kettlebells are good for that kind of exercise. They're very sort of compact. You could like travel with a kettlebell. You can't really travel with a big bar and all your weights and everything else. And I think there's a lot of controversy about all this kind of stuff. But basically, you either want, I think you can either do like body weight training. So that would be, press ups, sit ups, squats, like air squats, all that kind of stuff, and you would improve your conditioning just by doing those kind of exercises. Or you want some sort of kettlebells, or you want like some bar training. So with the bar, you want to buy a good quality bar, like get one from Rogue or one of these people. Like, they're not cheap, but they will last for like 10 million years. The same with any strength training gear you buy, it's going to last for like thousands of years. Like, you'll be passed down through generations. So yes, it's expensive to begin with, but it's not that bad. And then you want to buy some weights to go on the end. And I would just buy just plain kind of steel weights. Don't buy bumper blade weights or anything. Just buy like steel weights. And I have like 2 25, 4 10 kilos, 2 5 kilos, 2 2.5 kilos, 2 1.5 kilos. And with that, I can do most things. Like, I'm not like a bodybuilder. I'm not like trying to lift like horrendous weights. And then with the kettlebells, often people get kettlebells which are too heavy. You can actually, because you're doing like a lot of reps, you can actually get a lot out of even one 16 kilo kettlebell. You'll find that it does like tire you out. But usually kettlebells go up in 4 kilo increments, but you can just go like old school, would be like a 16, a 24, and a 32. Like, once you can do, you know, like 100 swings with a 24 kilo kettlebell, then you can do like 20 with a 32 kilo kettlebell. You know, like, you can, the increments are much much bigger. They're not like lifting up. You have to kind of really master the technique, and then you can make these like big jumps up. But you can also have like, you know, like I've slowly bought more and more kettlebells. So I'd have them up by 4 kilos, and you could probably, yeah, you can do basically everything with like, you know, 3 kettlebells. And sometimes you want 2 kettlebells. Like, it's good to have doubles in some sizes, because you want to do like double cleans and double presses and all that kind of stuff. So, but you can buy them over a long period. That the main thing is to try and avoid buying anything too gimmicky in your training. Like, you don't really need that much stuff. Like, my like squat rack kind of thing, like the box you're sort of training in so you don't like kill yourself, is just made out of wood. So I just got like, is that 2x4s, lots of bits of 2x4, and like screwed them all together and drilled some holes in it, and that's what I use. And I made like a bench out of wood and all that kind of stuff. Having a space where you can train is good. And I've got like a garage. So in that garage, I've just bought stable, they make like rubber mats for stables for horses to stand on, and you can buy those, and they're probably like 25 quid each or something, and they're like a meter by something, and I've just got 4 of those, and so like 100 quid, and you've got like this thing, you can drop weights on them and they won't like destroy your floor and that kind of stuff, and they're sort of horse proof, so they're very very tough, and they're made out of rubber, not made out of like, I'd avoid buying like EVA type foam, like for like, you know, like yoga stuff, because it'll just get destroyed straight away. And you know, that gives you a space where you can like sit around and do all that kind of stuff. Did I mention like one good gadget to buy is an ab wheel, one of those. It's like a wheel with a handle on either side. It looks like a gimmick, but it's actually a very good sort of exercise. And just do, if you never use one, just get one and do like, you know, like do 10 lots of 10 on that. Just like roll out, roll in, like watch your back, watch your, if you, you know, you'll feel any weakness in your core doing it, and then see how long it takes you for you to recover. Like, it's like, that is a killer. Like waiting, resting between your sets is, I tend to like, if it's like some sort of cardio kind of stuff, then I tend to, you know, just do like, I'll just have like 60 seconds, I'll have 30 seconds to do the exercise, and then the next one will start again like that. But if it's like, if you're actually working on like strength training, like 5x5 or 3x3, I'll generally leave like 5 minutes in between each set, because I actually want the maximum amount of time to recover, because it's not about, I'm actually trying to, like, I might have said this already because I recorded half this and it deleted itself. So I want to have mano a mano with me and the weight, really. I don't want it to be limited by me being tired or whatever. I want to get like the maximum out of each exercise. So that sort of feeds back to the 20 hours of good quality training a week, is you want to be training a good quality exercise, good quality movement, you know, like rested and all this kind of stuff. Like, yeah, you could go into, you can go in there and you could like be like hoofing really heavy weights like every single day, twice a day, but you'd probably be better off just doing it every other day. The exception to that is if you're doing like a 10 by 10 kind of program where you're using lower weights with like, you know, like very high reps and you're trying to work your overall conditioning, physical conditioning, so you can not get tired when you're doing stuff like rock climbing, ice climbing, all that kind of stuff, then I would actually do that every single day because it's not so taxing. You're never like maxed out. You're maxed out in terms of cardio. It will be really, really struggling as you're developing. But I think you can like train every single day like that. And it's probably a lot better than going running. It's much better on for your joints and stuff. Like you can throw in some running, but I just throw it in occasionally, like every now and again, along with like cycling and swimming and everything else, just to keep mixing all these things together. And you're probably going to start at like a low weights, and you'll either not be physically strong enough or your cardio won't be good enough, and you just have to tweak it. So if I'm trying to do like 100 kettlebell swings in 5 minutes, then to begin with I wouldn't be able to manage that. So I'd instead of giving myself 30 seconds to do 5-10 kettlebell swings on one arm, I would give myself 40 seconds, and then after a while I'll give myself 35 seconds, and I would kind of build, you know, taper it down. And if I was doing like one arm kettlebell swings, maybe I would, instead of doing that, I would give myself 1 minute to do two-handed kettlebell swings with a heavier weight, and just keep your body off balance. That you never want to get to the point where you're super comfortable with what you're doing. You always have to be sort of struggling in some aspect. Otherwise, it's not really point. You know, like you can get to the point where you just train because you like training, but within, yeah. So I said within a first week you'll feel knackered. Second week you'll start feeling a bit stronger. After a month you'll start feeling your body's changing. You'll feel like your legs are stronger. You're more aware of like weaknesses in your body, so you can like start working on things. Like if you're not very good at doing like lunges, then you can start working on some sort of exercise that'll sort of develop your lunges. And in your rock climbing, you'll find that you're actually just more flexible, because if you're doing like squats, you'll just find that your hips and everything else are actually becoming more flexible, and you can you'll be more physically confident. So it'll feed into your psychology. Like you'll just feel like if you can hold on to something, if you're like doing lots of weights and stuff, like just holding the kettlebell is making your hands stronger. Doing a deadlift is making your hands stronger. So just by physically moving things around, you're getting stronger. That it'll just feed in. Like even if you're not actually any stronger for climbing, you will feel stronger and you will climb better and be more confident and climb better. You'll get the maximum gains the shitter you are, basically. You know, if you're just shit, then you'll be amazing. But if you're like Adam Ondra, then you know, maybe doing like, maybe he does like squats and things, or maybe he does like deadlifts, but you know, he might see like a slight improvement over like a long period. But for most us normies, you'd see a big difference. So ways to, there's like so much information online. Like Mark Rippetoe's Starting Strength book is like really, really good, but it's like you have to read it. So it's a little bit like trying to read like a how to mend a computer. If you don't know what a computer is, you're probably better just watching quite a lot of videos. Like Mark Rippetoe's got lots of really good videos, but there's lots of other people out there. But just be very cautious about anything too radical. Just try and sort of, often you'll get one person's doing videos where he's just repeating what somebody else is saying, but getting things wrong. Like there's a thing where you place your kettlebells at a certain angle because it's good for your shoulders. And I've seen loads of videos where they've got the wrong way around. They just didn't really get what the person was saying. So it's actually really bad for your shoulders. So Just be really cautious about anything like that. And I would say Mark Rippetoe is a very good good person to like listen to. It's not none of it is trying to demonstrate how amazing he is. Like if you go and watch like Russian guys doing kettlebells where they're lifting like 10 kettlebells one on top of the other and stuff and balancing them on their heads, like that's not a good way of doing it really. So it's like with all these things, you can, as you get stronger, you can like you've got more lee room. But like weightlifting is a bit like skiing. It really punishes you when you think you're getting good at it. You always have a crash and get hurt. So it's good to just to be very cautious and don't make it, you know, don't go on social media like showing you doing your crappy squats, because you'll try and put too much weight on. Like don't be getting your phone out and filming yourself doing all these kind of things. Like try and do it in isolation. Like I don't got any, there's no mirrors in my garage. It's good, you know, it's good not to do that. But you know, it's really good fun. It's a good thing to do. It's good if you can't go climbing, like, you know, if the weather's bad or whatever, it's a good thing. And it's just good for your physical health, your mental health. You become more right wing the stronger you get. Unfortunately, you know, that's one of the best things about it. But you know, it will change your psychology, your culture and things. Like suddenly you might see things differently, like what you eat or your lifestyle, or you'll want to go to bed earlier, and it's a very positive thing. And I think for thousands of years, this was what people did. They kind of tried to maximize their strength, because the stronger you are, the harder you are to kill, basically. So it's even if it didn't, you know, like, is it going to make you a better climber? Well, if being weaker makes you a better climber, then what's the point of being a climber, basically? Like, you know, no time spent getting stronger is going to be a waste of time, I don't think. Like, what are you going to do? Like, just stay in bed a bit longer, or you know, go on social media? Like, it's a very positive thing to do, and you can do it, as I say, like, you don't need to go and buy anything. You can just do like body weight training. You could get like super strong. I think body weight training would be press ups, sit ups, pull ups, squats, and those exercises. So you can do all those anywhere, and but all of them take time, you have to be into it, and you just have to avoid not getting injured or fucking yourself up, because that's like the number one way why you're gonna stop doing it. But if you can maintain it for, is it like 60? Is it 90 days? If you can maintain anything for 90 days, then it'll be with you for life, and it's a good, you know, it's a really good positive thing in your life, I think, strength training. So I guess that's it. So if anybody has any questions to ask me, I don't know what I'm talking about. My daughter said I need more reviews on iTunes. I've got like 20 something, mainly like saying he rambles too much, it's shit. So if you take the time to write a review on iTunes, then email me and I will send you a PDF of this old book I wrote, Driven, which is like a pegging manual that actually eventually got integrated into higher education. But I found it on my computer, so I thought it's a shame it just sits there, nothing, no one's using it. So reviews are welcome, and if you like this podcast, like, share it. Like, I am totally not on social media anymore. I've not been on social media for many, many months. So I have no Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, anything. So it's a very lonely world, you know. I used to get a lot of interactions with people in messages, but not, you know, less so now. So it's, you know, I feel a bit like a hermit. So just because I've given up social media because I think it's toxic and destroys your brain, doesn't mean you can't share my content on your social media. So but don't worry, it doesn't matter. So that's it. I have some questions still I have to answer, so I'll probably do that in next week's podcast. But I hope this has been informative, has made you think about stuff, and has been useful. So until next time.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.